from John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22, which you'll find on page 100 of the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Shall we pray together? Lord, thank you for this glorious day that you have created. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus you've called each one of us as members of your flock to be members of your church. We pray that now by your Holy Spirit you would guide us and direct us. Show us your ways and help us to live in it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you please have a seat? I think it would be a real help if you keep your Bibles open at John's Gospel, chapter 10. That's page 100 of the New Testament sections. Now, today after this, we have our annual parochial church meeting at the end of this service. And that's always a good opportunity to stand back a little bit, to reflect over the past year of where we are as a church family, and see how God has blessed us. I'm not going to regurgitate what's been written in the annual printed report. You can read that for yourselves. This morning, I want us instead to think about the mission of the church and why we're actually here as Christians. And this morning, I want to use John's Gospel as a lens, if you like, to see where we start to ask questions about our identity as believers in Jesus. Now, first of all, we need to understand that Jesus is always the main thing in the church. Jesus is the main thing. I want you to picture the scene in John's Gospel. It's winter time. Even in Israel, people are all wrapped up against the cold wind. It's the Jewish festival of dedication, Hanukkah, and there's lots of people milling around the Jerusalem temple. Jesus is walking through the courts, and we're not told what he's thinking or praying as he strolls through the portico of Solomon. Crowds begin to see him, and they gather around him, eagerly hurling questions at him. "If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And then Jesus encounters with a withering observation, "I have told you, and you did not believe." The whole ministry of Jesus, his words, his actions, his miracles, it all points to the fact that he's not just a carpenter from Nazareth. He is the embodiment of the Son of God, with all the power and authority to go with that. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. All the miracles recorded in John's Gospels are signs that this is the Messiah walking there in front of them. Now, if as a church we're not pointing people to Jesus, we're failing in our task, and we're not living up to the great commission which Christ left to his church, isn't it so easy to get distracted from the main event? Our Passion for Life events throughout March and leading up to Easter set out in a variety of different ways to invite people to decide for themselves, is there anything about this Jesus? Can he mean something to me? Can he make a difference in my modern, busy life? Sir Gillian Prance reminded us at the Garden Centre that the Christian faith permeated all of his work as a botanist and ecologist. Our family fun days are laughing with Tom youth event. It used laughter and fun to get across the serious point that our lives only make sense when we live them in relationship with Christ. The art historian Nick Grindle showed us how artists through the centuries have incorporated the person of Christ into their art. Our songs of praise and choral evensong presented Christ through traditional hymns, through the well-loved liturgy and hymns of the Anglican worship service. And so we could go on. School events, men and women's events, the church's exhibition. Different approaches, different angles, different audiences, but all with the same objective: to encourage people to look at Jesus Christ for themselves. Is he who he claims to be? Now, we all know that a one-size-fits-all approach simply doesn't work in the society we find ourselves in. And as a Christian community, we need to find different ways of reaching out to the community around us. Many people have no grasp at all of the gospel. Jesus tells his audience in the temple that they do not believe because they are not one of his sheep. If they were of his flock, they would hear his voice and believe. I know them and they follow me. Now, this is what really motivates me in ministry. That's why I was ordained 15 years ago. That's why I've been in Lechlade nearly 5 years, to present the claims of Jesus Christ to the community around us. It's not for the money that I am in this job, I can assure you. It's not about building up lots of money. It's not about building up our own little empire or even building up the Anglican Church. It's about drawing people from all walks of life to see the beauty and the awesome holiness of Jesus himself. At our annual meeting, we'll discuss finances and electoral roll and fabric and lots of legal requirements. But these things are simply supports for the main thing, the gospel. A few years ago, somebody wrote a book called The Trellis and the Vine. And it makes the point that we always need to distinguish in the church between what is the main thing, the vine, and what are the secondary supporting things, the trellis, that allows that to happen. Get that wrong and we meander into all sorts of backwaters, spiritual dead ends, and cul-de-sacs. This is why week after week we read God's word, God's voice in the scriptures. And that's why we have the response after the reading: this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. And the Bible helps us to keep the main thing the main thing. It allows us to set God's agenda and always focus on our own priorities, which are often skewed and off kilter. Now, have you ever met somebody who's having a conversation with you and they begin to digress, they meander, they wander into all sorts of things? The late Ronnie Corbett was a great artist in this. If you remember the two Ronnies, often it would always finish with him sitting on a chair at the end, going off into lots and lots of tangents, funny stories, and occasionally he would end up with a punchline at the end. But it shouldn't be like that in the Christian church. Is the main thing the main thing? Is Christ central to all that we do, say, and think? Never let Jesus' words here be relevant to us. I have told you, and you do not believe. Are those harsh, uncompromising words? I have told you, but you have not believed. Now look at verse 27 of our reading. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. If you go down the high street of many towns in this country, you will see a shop called HMV. Now, what does HMV stand for? His Master's Voice. That was originally a title of a painting painted in 1899 of a little dog called Nipper listening to a gramophone machine. That painting was bought by the gramophone company and then used for their advertising. It was so popular that they changed their name to HMV and used the little listening dog logo, which has now become world famous. And it's not a bad picture of the Christian life: listening to our Master's voice. There's lots of other voices, lots of other noise around us, but can we listen to our Master's voice? It's about obedience, following in the steps of Jesus Christ as a disciple, molding our lives to more and more resemble Jesus of Nazareth. I'm sure many of you read in the past week the story of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the revelations that his father was actually the private secretary to Winston Churchill. But Justin Welby's response was incredibly gracious and humble. I just want to read it out to you if you have not actually read it before. This revelation has, of course, been a surprise. But in my life and in our marriage, Caroline and I have had far worse. I know that I find who I am in Jesus Christ, not in genetics, and my identity in him never changes. Even more importantly, my role as Archbishop makes me constantly aware of the real and genuine pain and suffering of many around the world, which should be the main focus of our prayers. Although there are elements of sadness and even tragedy in my father's case, this is a story of redemption and hope from a place of tumultuous difficulty and near despair in several lives. It is a testimony to the grace and power of Christ to liberate and redeem us, grace and power which is offered to every human being. At the very outset of my inauguration service 3 years ago, a young member of a Canterbury congregation said, "We greet you in the name of Christ. Who are you, and why do you request entry?" To which I responded, "I am Justin, a servant of Jesus Christ, and I come as one seeking the grace of God to travel with you in his service together." What has changed? Nothing. Isn't that a remarkable statement from a remarkable man? His family affairs have been splashed right across the tabloids and across the media. And he makes us understand that our identity is not in our genetics, it's not in our education, not in our past failures or weaknesses. Our identity is in Christ, who loves us and gave himself up for us, listening to the Master's voice and following in his way. And surely that is what we offer to the community around us. We know that even in the lovely setting of Lechlade, there are stories of real suffering, real hardship and pain behind the pretty scenes. And as a minister, it's an extraordinary privilege to walk alongside people as they journey through that valley of the shadow. But Jesus brings comfort and joy. But as well as identity in Christ, we also have the gift of eternal life. Verse 28. "I gave them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Just as in chapter 3 with Nicodemus, here too, Jesus has the gift of eternal life. And that's an extraordinary thing. Many people have some sort of vague idea that their consciousness, their life will continue after death. But it's all a bit sort of patchy, wishful thinking. And people then go to mediums, spiritualist churches, hoping for some sense that this present life is not all there is. But Jesus gave the truth. And in the words of Nicodemus, he said this, "Whoever believes in me shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." Isn't it encouraging this morning that we're safe in the hands of the Good Shepherd? Whatever we face, whatever may assail us in this life, the Good Shepherd holds us fast, and he calls us by name. There can be no greater assurance, no greater promise. The darkness of Good Friday will have to give way to the light of Easter Day. Resurrection can and will swallow up in death, and joy can overcome despair. The Father's power is greater than any enemy, and he will ensure his sheep are secure. Maybe this morning we think that our faith is so fragile, so transient, that all our sorrows and trials will snatch us away from God. But not so. It all depends not on what we can do for God, but on what he has done for us. "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me," says Jesus. And the Father and the Son are one in unity and power. And as we look back over the previous year in this church, yes, there's been difficulties, there's been tensions. Some dear friends are no longer with us. But we are encouraged to look outwards and upwards. Outwards towards a desperately needy world, and upwards towards a compassionate and almighty God. So let's commit ourselves to holding on to Jesus as the main thing. May we have the patience and strength to listen to our Master's voice and never tire of pointing people to Jesus, who is the giver of eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.